To Isaiah chapter 41. So Isaiah chapter 41, I wanted to revisit this passage this evening. We went over this several months ago, but I thought just the time that our community is experiencing it would be a good time to go over these verses again and some other verses in Scripture. You never know who might be watching via live stream, but obviously all of us can be helped by the Word of God. And people do need the Lord during this time, and they need to anchor their life in Jesus Christ, who will help them through the storms of life. And we don't take what has happened recently lightly. We do grieve with those that are grieving, and we pray for those that need the healing. And we'll even talk more about that after the service during the prayer request time. But Isaiah chapter 41, looking at verses 10 and 13 to start with. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, 13, we're just reminded tonight to remember to continue trusting the Lord, even in times like these, in times that we don't understand why people do what they do, what they're thinking, what their motives are, but we do know that the Lord is always at work, and the Lord is always looking to show himself great and mighty in the lives of people and to bring peace. And I'm glad that on that night, as we are in the month of December, just the month of celebrating Christmas, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on the night that he was born, the angel showed up to the shepherds and said that there was peace. Peace had finally come to the earth, because that peace is through Jesus Christ, God's gift to the world. In Isaiah chapter 41, looking at verse 10 and 13, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Father, again, we thank you for the time we can have together tonight. Father, I do pray that you would minister to the hearts of the people that are here in this auditorium, as well as those that may be watching live stream, even those that would maybe come across the message later on and watch it or listen to it, Father. We just always pray that your word will minister to the hearts of people. And we do thank you, Father. Your word will never return void. It always does what, Lord, you have it intended to do. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit would minister tonight. Lord, just reminding us of the truths, the promises of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would continue, Lord, as your people to walk by faith. Lord, to allow your word to guide us, to be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. Lord, always looking to you for direction in life, always leaning upon you. Lord, gathering our strength from you. And obviously, Father, sitting in your presence so that, Lord, we can be filled with your joy. But Father, do we ask that you would please bless our time. As always, Lord, we ask that Christ would be lifted up. You would be glorified. The kids would be ministered to in Kid Venture. Lord, help the word of God to take root in their hearts as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, as always, we are reminded and very thankful that the Lord is always here to help us. And I love these two verses because, as the Lord says in verse 10, "I am with thee, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In verse 13, he says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." So again, just tonight, reminding ourselves to remember to always trust the Lord, because he is our rock and he is our defense. He is our buckler. He is the one that we can count on. He's the one that will carry us through and encourage us. And we need to, because just when tragedy strikes, we're often tempted. I say we as in people, we're often tempted to question God, why he allowed something to happen. We tend to question if we're even following the right way, if we're trusting the right one. And because people are always, when someone tragedy strikes, people are looking for answers or looking for comfort, they're looking for peace.
They're looking for understanding. We can find all of that in Jesus Christ. And as God's people, we're reminded that he is the one that is trustworthy, and we can remember to trust him because he's the one that has it all under control. He's the one that is guiding us. Again, I love it, the fact that the Lord speaks and says several times, I am, I will. And the Lord is good to his people. Tonight I want us to just remember these promises that the Lord's given us, that he is with us. He says, I am with thee. The first thing he says to remind his people, and also those that are seeking answers and seeking for hope and peace and understanding and comfort, the Lord says, I'm with you. He can be with you. Again, the Lord is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of evil and sin, but he's the one that has the answer in order to, if I can say, combat or fight against those things, because he is the comforter and he is the one that has all the answers. Look at Psalm 34 as we just think about the fact that the Lord is with us. I am with thee. Psalm 34, looking at verses 6 through 8. Psalm 34, 6 through 8. The Bible says, let their way, Psalm 34, verse 6 through 8, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Again, saving us out of all our troubles, whether physical, spiritual, or emotional, the Lord is there. I am with thee. This morning, this poor man cried, and often we do cry unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Reminding us again, the Lord is with us. And I love the fact that his angels encamp around us. The angel of the Lord, I should say, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And the man that does trust, the man or woman or child that does trust in the Lord, they are helped. They are blessed because they find exactly what their heart is longing for. They find what will fill that void, what will comfort them in that time of need, what will give them guidance and direction in their life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need not fear because the Lord is with his people. The Lord is with his child. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Every one of us has a hedge of protection. Every one of us has the hand of God upon us as his children, as born-again believers. And he is there. In Hebrews 13, in verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we're very grateful for that. We understand that. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Again, men do evil and wicked things. The Lord in the beginning said man's heart was evil continually. And that's why he brought judgment upon the world in the early days. And yet even after the flood, hearts man was still wicked because of sin. But we need not fear man. We need not fear what man can do or will do or has done. But we can come to the Lord and say, the Lord is my helper. Whatever it is that we need. Again, at the time that we're in right now as a community, the Lord is my helper. The Lord will be with us. The Lord will guide us. The Lord will magnify himself in the lives of his people and lift up Christ and draw people unto the Lord. So we can be thankful and remember that we can trust the Lord because the Lord said, I am with thee. And we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The second thing that he says in Isaiah 41 verse 10 is the fact that I am thy God. And that's a wonderful statement from the Lord, that I am thy God. We have a God who is living, a God who is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Comforter, our Joy. He is our peace, and he holds us in the palm of his hand. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and looking at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. I mean, these truths that we find in Isaiah 41, verse 10 and 13 are wonderful truths for this time of year, for the month of December, for the Christmas season, because many people are facing a holiday without a loved one. And obviously, again, the tragedy that happened yesterday, and lives were lost, and parents will spend this season without their child. And many will spend their season without a spouse, without a loved one that has passed on this past year, the year before. And they do. Every single person needs the Lord, and they need that comfort that comes from the Lord, because the Lord understands. The Lord understands, and He's the one that can give that inner comfort. Man can only do so much. We can only comfort people so much on the outside, but the Lord is the one that comforts on the inside. And the Lord is the one that says, I am thy God, and He wants to be the God of every single person. In Psalm 27, verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? As David writes these Psalms, David, again, was a man who ran for his life because he had someone that was trying to kill him, but God kept him alive. God kept him safe. And David learned that the Lord is his light and salvation. The Lord's the one that guided him. The Lord is the one that protected him and saved him. He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, even though David ran for his life and David was saved by the Lord and did not physically die during the reign of Saul, yet David knew that if he were to lose his life, he knew he would be with the Lord. And he trusted in the Lord. He knew that the Lord would guide him. And whether he died or lived, he was the Lord's, and the Lord would be with him. In verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. In verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. David says, in this will I be confident. And that goes back to verse number 1, where David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Again, remembering to trust the Lord, because He is our God and He wants to be our Lord. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, verses 27, 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Again, tonight, we're thankful that the Lord is our God. We're thankful that we do not have to fear what man can do, because we are in the Lord's hands. Again, it's been said by many that you cannot scare a born-again believer with death, because that is the doorway into eternity. That's the doorway into the eternity of peace and comfort and joy, being in the presence of the Lord. Now, again, not making light of any tragedy that anyone faces in their life, but making the statement and the truth that we can trust the Lord, even during trials and tragedy, because the Lord is our comfort. The Lord wants to be the comfort of those that are hurting. He wants to show Himself mighty. He wants to give that peace that does comfort, the peace that passeth all understanding, even in tragedy, having that comfort, as David says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And we need the Lord to strengthen our life, to strengthen the inner man. I want you to look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 6, as we think about the Lord when He says, I will strengthen thee. Now the Lord says, I am with thee, I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. And again, we do need the strength of the Lord, even as David said back there in Psalm 27. But in Ephesians chapter 6, we find that our strength comes through relying upon God's armor, God's ability, and God's strength. In Ephesians chapter 6, you look at verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And as Paul writes to the believers at Ephesus, he encourages them and reminds them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Often we find ourselves trying to be strong for ourselves or to be strong for somebody else. I've heard people at times say, you know, you need to be strong for so and so. You need to be strong and be there for them. And you know, we do need to help others and we do need to encourage others. But again, our strength, our own personal strength is very weak. The best that we can do is weak. But the Lord's strength is an eternal strength. It's an everlasting strength. It's a strength that can carry us through. It's a strength that can encourage the inner man. It's a strength that can help build us up and give us the confidence to stand, as verse 13 tells us. But looking again, he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Again, the wiles of the devil, there's so many darts, so many types of darts the devil uses. The dart of confusion, the dart of fear, the dart of doubt. But then the dart of questioning, the dart of darkness, the dart of isolation, the dart of just getting into someone's mind and crushing their faith. I mean, the devil's always seeking to whom he can sift. He wants to destroy lives. He wants to destroy people's faith. He wants to destroy people's hope in the Lord. And again, the Bible tells us not to have confidence in princes. Our confidence is to be in the Lord, the one who never fails. But our strength comes from remaining close to the Lord, relying upon the Lord, walking in the ways of the Lord, and trusting in the armor of God. Because in trials, people are tempted, God's people are tempted to not pick up the armor of God. It's not something that we're cladded with every day. We're not clothed with it. We're to put it on. We're put on the helmet of salvation. We are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on the shield of faith. Again, the Bible says that if we put our shield of faith down, then guess what? We're going to lose. We're going to have a worse time of going through trials and difficulties without the armor of God, without trusting in the armor of God and relying upon the armor of God and having our hope in what God tells us to do, because we're told, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And it goes on to give us the different pieces of the armor. But look at Philippians chapter 4, 13. We are reminded, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I mean, it's a verse that's often quoted by people. It's a verse that's very true. But often there are those that do not rely upon that verse. And again, the Lord wants to be our strength. And we're often reminded by Paul, who in his time of adversity, in his time of trial, the Lord told him, my strength was sufficient. And Paul said that he'd rather rely upon the Lord's strength. He'd rather have the grace of God upon his life because he understood it was the power of God. And the grace of God, the strength of God in our life is the power that helps us to cope with life's trials. It helps us to understand. You know what? Though we may not understand the mind of somebody who acts upon evilness and acts upon evil intentions, we may not always understand why they do it, why they did it, but we do understand it's because of sin. We understand it's because you do not have Jesus Christ in their life, because when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you understand that life is precious. You understand that life is something that God gives, and no man is to take it upon himself to take life away. But we get the strength from the Lord when we keep the armor of God on and we remind ourselves that the Lord is my strength, and the Lord says, I am thy God. Now, lastly, I want you to go back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 41. Messages shorter tonight, because I do want to spend time in prayer with you. Isaiah chapter 41. Again, in verse 10, for fear thou not. Again, there's nothing to fear in life. There's nothing to fear what man can do, as David said in Psalm 27, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And as I read that, I'm reminded of Joshua. Joshua getting ready to go into the promised land, and God encouraging him in his faith to be courageous in the Lord, to be confident in God, to follow the ways of the Lord, to follow the word of God, because the life that they were entering into, the promised land that they were entering into, is the Christian life. I mean, every battle that they faced, every difficulty they came to, every mountain they crossed over, every valley they went through, every blessing they received of the Lord is exactly the way the Christian life is. And I'm always reminded that the first battle that Joshua and God's people had to face was a battle of trust. It was a battle of trusting what God said, even though it did not make sense. Just walking around a city wall for 7 days, knowing that the army on the inside, the soldiers on the inside, the men of war on the inside, could rain down destruction upon them from the top of the wall or even charge out of the city. But we see in Scripture that God had smitten the hearts of the men on the inside of the city, according to the testimony of Rahab when she told the two spies that all the men's heart, all the people's heart, they've melted because of what they heard that your God, the true living God, has done to the other wicked kings. So God smitten the hearts of those in that city, and the people of God trusted the word of God, which was their greatest victory. Because remember, when you go back even to when Moses led the people to the entrance of the promised land, that was their downfall. That's why they didn't go in, because the generation before them did not trust the word of God, did not trust God in going into the promised land. And that was the first test of the next generation going in, the children that had grown up and now were the adults going in. Their first test going into the promised land was trusting God. You know what? That test never stops. It's not a one-time test. It's a test every day that we face, every week that we face, every month that we face, every year that goes by. We always have that test of trusting God and following God and relying upon the Lord. But we can, because the Lord says, I am with thee, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. And also he says in the end of verse 10, I will help thee. Notice he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He says, I will help thee. Look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Again, these are all promises that we're familiar with, promises that I'm sure you have built your life upon, your walk with the Lord upon. Many of these verses are probably verses that come often to your mind. And it's a wonderful thing that we're following a true living God. We're not following some dead religion that truly gives no hope and no peace, but we're following someone who does give hope and peace, who does at times even helps us to understand things in life. Really, to understand what goes on in life is to understand that the Lord loves every single person. And the Lord, again, is not the author of evil, but he has given a way of escape. He's given his son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us so that we could have peace. We can have an abundance of life through him. As Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. The Lord says, I will help thee. In Psalm 121, looking at verse 1 and 2 and then 7 and 8, Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Again, we're not to put confidence in man, though God does use people to help people. All right, again, we're thankful yesterday that many, many police officers showed up at the high school. to help in that situation, and more lives were not lost, and more lives were not destroyed. You think about the Christian life, though, the devil wants to destroy lives. Again, the evilness that are in people, people will do evil things. But the devil wants to destroy lives so that people will not trust in the Lord. You know, in times like this, it's a great opportunity for us to show the faith of God, to show the love of God, to show people that there is hope. Even though when as I think about this, I even wrote this down on a piece of paper. I think it's in my office. But where there seems to be no hope, there is hope. Because, again, sometimes people are looking for hope. They're looking for, you know, a positive out of a negative. And you think about even just Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, where there seems to be no hope. I mean, as he's being basically dragged away after being chained, being pulled out of the pit, and seeing his brothers counting the silver pieces and dividing it up among themselves, all he could do was hope in the Lord. And people would look at that situation and think, there's no hope for him. Now he's a slave, but yet with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always hope. And we understand that as God's people, where there seems to be no hope, there is hope, because our hope is in the Lord, the one that says, I will help thee. Again, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Praise the Lord that the devil cannot rob the soul of a child of God. Though the devil would love to be able to rip a child of God out of the hands of God, yet he can't, because he's not stronger than God. And Jesus said that we are in his hand and we're in the Lord's hand and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Again, we thank the Lord that he's always there to help us, and he's always there to help those that will call upon him in faith, because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Bible reminds us of that if someone will call upon the Lord and ask the Lord to come into their life and to save them, he will. He's not one single person he will turn away, and we're thankful for that, and we're thankful that when a child of God calls upon the Lord, he's there to help them. I just can't help but to think about Peter in the time of his need, sinking in the midst of those waves and that storm on the Sea of Galilee, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Bible records the Lord lifted him up, and they walked back together to the boat. The Lord's always there to help us. He's always there when we cry out to him. He's always there to strengthen us and to help us and to walk with us. Last place I want you to look at is Psalm 145 as we think about the Lord saying, I will uphold thee. Often I have said that not only does the Lord walk with us, but many times he carries us, and sometimes without us even realizing it. But the Lord says, I will uphold thee. Again, the Lord's always there to help us. He always wants us to remember to trust him, because he is trustworthy. We can always count on the Lord. In Psalm 145, we look at verse 14. The Bible says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those, that be bowed down. Look at Psalm 146, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 146, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Oh, is that what I want? Yeah, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. These two verses just reminds us that the Lord upholds those. He upholds the fatherless, the widows. He upholds his people. Those that cannot help themselves, he upholds those. He's there for his people when we cry out to him. When we remember to trust the Lord, we remember that the Lord is our God. We remember the Lord is our strength and the Lord is with us and the Lord will help us and the Lord will uphold us. Remembering to trust the Lord because he's the one who is trustworthy. Go back, Isaiah chapter 41, and just looking at the two verses one last time. Again, as we think about just in times like these, people need to know that the Lord is there for them. The Lord wants to help them. The Lord wants to be their God. He wants to be their strength, their comfort, their joy. He wants to guide them through these times in their life. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." I love the fact that sometimes, like I've said, I would love to audibly hear the voice of God. I would love to physically see the Lord as the disciples did on the road to Emmaus as they were walking along and Jesus come alongside and ask why they were so sad and why about the sad conversation they were having. And the Lord basically came alongside and held spiritually held their hands as he walked with them and expounded the word of God upon them, to them. And then when he opened up their eyes there as he broke the bread, they realized it was him. And they said, after he departed, did not our hearts burn within us? You know, it's a wonderful thing to have your heart burning inside of you spiritually because of the warmth of the Lord, because the warmth of the relationship that we have with the Lord. And again, we're often reminded, and we should be reminded, that we can trust the Lord and we can have confidence in the Lord and we can cry unto the Lord even when we don't understand. And we don't have to understand everything, but we do need to understand that the Lord is there to help. The Lord is there to comfort. The Lord is there to give his peace and his joy in the hearts of those that need it if they will simply call upon his name. Lastly, I do want you to look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, because again, we're reminded, God's people, we know that God is eternal. We know that his promises are eternal and can be counted on because he's not a man that he should lie. He is an eternal God. As Jesus told the woman at the well, that God was seeking those that would worship him in spirit and truth because God is a spirit. He does not have flesh and bone like we are. He is, again, not a man, but he is God. He's the creator. He is the, he's Jehovah. I mean, he's everything. I mean, he is truth. He is life. He is joy. He is comfort. And we can count on his promises because in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, John reminds us, "Herein is our love made perfect. Not that we may have boldness, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." And how true that is. Understand, fear has torment. And there are people that are filled with fear right now. There are people that were not able to sleep last night, especially those that were there during the tragedy yesterday, witnessing it, running for their lives, being scared, hiding. Well, understand, fear grips and fear torments, and fear is relentless. But the comfort and the joy and the peace of God and the love of God will dissipate that fear, will destroy that fear in a person's heart and help them to cleave unto the Lord, help them to draw to the Lord, because that's what they need. The love of God is everything a person is seeking for. The love of God encompasses everything that a person desires. It says, "Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love." But again, there is no fear in love, in God's love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And we see that the perfect love is Jesus Christ, because he says, "I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee and I will uphold thee." So a reminder tonight, just not just for God's people, but anyone else that may see or hear the message, that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the hope that our community has and our nation has. and the world has is Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ. And again, we just entered in, as today's the first day of December, we have just entered in one of the most wonderful time of the year, I believe, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest time of the year because we're celebrating his victory for us over sin and death. But yet the fact we celebrate that he came. He came. I don't care if people want to argue what day that he came, but we do. We celebrate December the 25th. It's just a day it's been chosen. But we ought to celebrate every day the fact that our Lord and Savior stepped down from glory, stepped down from his throne, robed himself in flesh to live a life, a sinless life that we could not and cannot live, so that we could receive the gift of salvation for his sacrifice on the cross. And again, like I've said before, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the gift that encompasses every single thing that every single person needs. Because every gift that we've ever gotten in our life and will get does not encompass everything that we need. You have different tools for different jobs. You have different kitchen aids for different things that you do in the kitchen. But Jesus Christ can meet every need. He encompasses everything that we face in life. And again, I love the fact that God himself says, I will, I will, I will, I am. And he is. He is everything that